Heading over now to Texas, United States of America, to speak to Catherine Sharp Lendeck on her book, Landeck, on her book, The Women with Silver Rings. Sorry about that, Catherine.
That's okay.
what's it like in Texas at the moment? Is a lockdown there as well?
Well, they're lightening things up a little bit, but our town is pretty locked down, and my kids and I haven't been out for about 6 weeks, so wow. we're taking it all pretty seriously.
Yeah, our children allow that, because our kids have been in for 6 weeks now, and on Sunday was the first time in Spain that they were allowed to go out for walks and so on, so we've taken them for a walk around the block and so on. Are you not allowed to take the children out there?
We can, we've got a lot more space probably and live out in the country a little bit. So we've got a big yard and the kids can go out and do all that. Yeah. And so they're not going quite as stir crazy as I would think kids in cities are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's great to have you on, Catherine. It really is. And now you're in a little place called Denton near Dallas in Texas.
Yep, Denton, Texas, just north of Dallas. It's home of Texas Woman's University, where I teach, and the other university, which is University of North Texas. So it's a fun little college town. We love it here.
Yeah, fantastic. This is a great story. And, of course, we're going back to the Second World War period, 1941. And you tell the story of Cornelia Fort. And really, I think you kind of focus on her, but it really paints a bigger picture as well of these women that served in the Air Force. And I think as we're going through our own little battles, wherever we may be at the moment in this world, I think it's good to focus on what these people did. It kind of gives you a bit of resilience and a bit of hope. I think so too.
I'm sorry, did I interrupt?
No, I was just about to say, you do focus on this one girl, but it tells the whole story, doesn't it, of these women that did amazing things.
Yeah, you know, I opened with Cornelia because she was there at Pearl Harbor, which is, you know, essentially where it starts for the United States. And then, yeah, it's the story of, you know, all 1,100 women that go through the war years as pilots for the Army Air Forces and then go on to their lives after the war, because that period of post-war adjustment was so tough and, you know, readjusting and getting through it all. So, yeah, it follows the whole women. I had one person call it a group biography, which I think it kind of is.
Let's focus a little bit on Cornelia, because that kind of does give us a real insight to the personal side of it. And she's whilst Pearl Harbor, the attack is taking place. Am I right in saying she's up in a plane somewhere?
Yeah. So Cornelia Fort was a Nashville girl. She was a debutante in Nashville and decided to escape that world and went to Hawaii and was a flight instructor. So she was up in the air with her student when the planes came and dodged and weaved and got on the ground with them shooting at her. And was very, very fortunate to survive.
That's amazing. And then can I just tell them the age that Cornelia was at the time? 22.
Sure.
22 years of age.
Yeah.
Now, I'm 44, and I think, dear me, if I had a 22-year-old daughter up there doing that, it'd be quite frightening.
Right.
When you're 22, you think you're really old, don't you? But when you look back, you think, these are young girls that were there. So she's up there in the middle of all of this and manages to get down. And then later on, they take women into the Air Force. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, she spent the year working to raise money for the war effort, telling her story at Pearl Harbor. But then in September of 1942, the Army Air Forces decided to give women a chance to fly. They were short pilots. They were building all the planes that they needed to get, you know, to both fields. And so they decided to give women a chance. And Cornelia was one of the most experienced women pilots in the country. So she was quick to join and was able to ferry aircraft.
Wow. And again, were most of them around this age? Did age come into it for the Air Force at the time?
Yeah, when they started, the ages were 21 to 35, but then they figured out with the men and the women that younger pilots were just as good or better. Maybe they could boss them around a little more than older folks. So 18 and a half to 35 were the age of these women, with most of them being younger. The average age was 24.
Wow. So
they were young.
So you're telling me that there were some 18-year-old girls flying these planes.
Oh, yeah. 18 and a half. They had to be 18 and a half, so not quite as young.
Those 6 months make all the difference, yeah.
Apparently.
they must have grown up quickly.
Yeah. I think it was a different era, too. They'd all come of age during the Great Depression. Yeah. So it was a little different, but I think as we've all changed in a very short period of time, I think the people during that World War II era, life changed very quickly, and they stepped up.
Did Cornelia have any family? Was she a parent herself, or what was kind of her background before she comes into this?
She was a debutante out of Nashville. Her father was very wealthy, owned a radio station, and her mother was very prominent in the Nashville scene. Yeah. Her father, not wanted her to fly, but she waited until he actually was killed before she learned to fly, and then she went ahead and moved forward. Yeah.
Yeah, I can kind of relate to him on all of this.
Yeah,
it'd be pretty scary stuff. I mean, are they fast-tracked into this? Obviously, I'll go through some rigorous training, but time was of the essence, wasn't it?
It was. They had this small group of women that got in right away that were already experienced and had been flying before the war, and then they needed more, so they started a training program in Texas. Actually, it started in Houston, then moved to Sweetwater, which is west of Abilene, and they started training women to fly, how to fly the Army way. They all had to have some flight time that they had to get on their own, I guess, to prove that they could do it before the Army would train them. But then they went through the same flight training that male cadets did.
Wow.
It took them about 6 months by the end to get all the training they needed.
How successful were they? Did we lose a few of them?
We did. They were very successful. All of their success rates were equal or better than the men doing the similar jobs.
Yeah.
But 38 of the women were killed during the war, which is, of course, tragic.
Yeah, it really is. And again, it's, I think, for our generation today, and we're obviously now facing some issues ourselves, and psychological issues as well with what we're facing, mm-hmm. anxiety and fear. When you talk, maybe, and you tell, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to speak to young people in America about what she's done in particular, and women like her, it must be quite mind-blowing for an 18-year-old girl today in our culture and society to think about going up in a plane and being shot at.
Yeah. I think that's it's very inspiring to young people today to think that you've got young people that were their age that went out and took these risks and did the flying. Of course, I'm around a lot of aviation people. I'm a pilot myself and go to a lot of air shows and talk to people about this. So they're all slightly warped the way all aviation people are. but it really is inspiring to know that these women went out there and took risks and did it for their country. And, they wanted to fly. They loved to fly. So.
How many are we talking about here altogether, Catherine?
Well, it's funny. We end up with 1,102 that actually earn their silver wings. They graduate or pass their training and wear the wings of the Women Air Force Service Pilots. But you had 1,830 that went through training, and the piece that was very interesting to me during my research was 25,000 women applied to this program. 25,000 women wanted to be a part of it. I saw letters of application from farm wives in Iowa and schoolgirls in Florida and just women from all over the country that wanted to do this just so desperately. So it's a lot of women that really wanted to do this. And of course, you have women that were flying in England as part of the Air Transport Auxiliary already. So it was very popular.
It's something that I've never really heard much about. Was that the reason for writing the book?
Say that again?
It's one of those stories that has gone under my radar, if you excuse the pun. Was that the reason for writing the book? Because you wanted to give him some sort of recognition?
Yeah, so I've been working on this since 1993. I went to an air show and I met one of these women, Carol Bailey Bosca, and couldn't believe that I'd never heard of them. I had a degree in history and I worked at an airport, and I just was stunned that I hadn't heard of them and none of my friends had heard of them. And I just thought that was a mistake. They had done all this work.
Yeah.
During the war and flown all these planes, and how different might the world be? You know, you go to an airport and all but 2% of the pilots are men, right? 98% of the pilots are men, professional pilots. And, you know, how different would the world be if people had realized from the beginning that these women had done this? So yeah, I set myself on a little mission, and I'm very stubborn. It's been since 93, and working on documentaries and Rose Parade floats and all sorts of things to get their story out there. But I just think they did a lot of good for their country and for the world, and prove that women can do this. They can fly airplanes and take risks and go after their dreams, whatever the world around them thinks, whatever that dream is. So I just wanted to share that with as many people as possible.
Yeah, and to think we're still fighting for women's rights and equality today, and these women were doing it back in the 1940s, it's quite phenomenal. Did they get recognized by the government at the time as well after the war?
No, they were just forgotten, just kind of set aside. They technically served as civilians during the war, which is a long... Wow. Two chapters in the book talks about it, but they were technically civilians. So, you know, when the 38 were killed, they got a $250 death benefit, even if they were in a plane with a man pilot who was technically in the Air Force, and he got a $10,000 death benefit. They didn't get the GI Bill. They didn't get any recognition until essentially in the 1970s. They decided to. That was long enough being forgotten, and they worked and got themselves recognized as veterans of World War II.
And they never gave up on that either.
No.
You must have felt, whilst writing this, that you must have felt like you got to know them personally yourself. Did you get to meet any of them?
I spent many years with them. I starting in 1996, I was doing oral histories with them, and I saw them about four times a year. There were three or four aviation events that I would go to and meet them, and you know, everything from their reunions to the big air show up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin every year. There's a Women in Aviation conference every spring. So I would spend time with them three, four times a year. So yes, they, you know, it's one of those things as a historian, you want to stay unbiased and level about the people you study. But there were so many of their records were lost, and I wanted to tell the story of what happened to them after the war. And the only way to do that really well was to ask them. I did about 150 oral histories, and I emailed with one of the WASP, the one who's just her picture's on the frontispiece in the front of the book there with the plane, Nell Bright. She's still alive, and I just emailed with her 2 days ago. So it's been a great deal of good luck to have gotten to know these wonderful women.
Well, it's a great story. I'm so glad you are highlighting it as well for this generation to read about. The book's called The Women with Silver Wings, The Inspiring True Story of the Women Air Force Service Pilots of World War II. Catherine, thank you for all that you're doing on that, and thanks for coming on and sharing about them.
Thanks so much. I appreciate your time and your interest, and please stay well.
Yeah, and you stay safe, Catherine. We'll speak again soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.